Episode 50, Engagement in Your Sales Funnel.
Welcome to the SaaS Venture Podcast. Sharing the adventure of leading and growing a bootstrapped SaaS company. Hear the experiences, challenges, wins, and losses shared in each episode from Aaron Wyke of LeadFerno. Let's go.
Welcome to the SaaS Venture Podcast. I'm Aaron Wyke on another solo episode with you. And episode number 50. That's a biggish number. Of course, it's been stretched out over a four-year time frame. A majority of those episodes with myself and Darren Shaw. And in the last 6 months here, just myself taking over the microphone. But small 5 second celebration for myself, 50 episodes and still going. It's been a little over a month since I last checked in with you. Been busy running LeadFerno and trying to do all the things. An update on that front. I don't know about you. Sales to start the year for us have been a little sluggish. Churn has remained up just a little bit higher. So we've been adding a little bit of revenue each month to LeadFerno, not as much as I want to, not on par with what my Q1 goals are, but a couple of small takeaways within it. One, our quality of leads have been solid. We haven't had as many leads, but the quality of leads have been better if I compare that to in 2023. More mature businesses, great budget alignment, have processes, just things that we see of a more mature, successful company. And that ends up being someone who is more likely to succeed with our product as well. So that side has been good. And on the churn side, there's kind of been a mix of things. And I don't know if so much I feel where it's been a churn of the product lacking. If I had to put things into buckets, probably the two main ones would be one bucket being just either organizational or larger software changes. So I had more than a handful, especially when you go to start the year and people, you know, end of year, beginning of year, that's when they make bigger decisions. So we had a few where they changed CRMs and that CRM has like a chat tool feature or something like that. So they're like, those customers pretty much come to us and say, hey, we love LeadFerno. We love what you do. Your product and what you do is way better than this other element we're going to use. That's the 20th or 30th feature in this very large package, but we're moving this way and to streamline it and everything else. We've been directed to shed these other one-off softwares that we're using. So we've seen some of that. And at the end of the day, I'm never going to be HubSpot or Salesforce or a product that's much, much larger. So it's harder for me to fight with those when they have those. Over time, I would hope, and we've seen this in the past, where they move to something else. We've had customers move to Zendesk and then come back to us because the chat feature just was a more frustrating experience for the customers and wasn't as easy to manage for them and things like that. So then they end up using both of us. So that can definitely happen. On the other side, interesting enough, and this is something where I continue to think about what I can do in my perception setting, is just a handful of customers that it didn't do as much as I wanted it to do. So it definitely didn't do nothing. LeadFerno was helping produce leads for them and getting them opportunities. But one way or another, it didn't fulfill that for them to the extent they expected. And what I find really interesting when I ask them to quantify that and ask them, you know, how many leads were you getting before us in a quarterly average or a monthly average? How many of those were from your website? When I dig into things, none of these companies have really been able to produce data at all to be able to share with me, oh, we usually get 15 leads a month or 25 leads a month or 60 leads a month from our website and the past tools we were using or just having a contact form. So that one always becomes interesting to me because maybe or maybe not the what they're sharing is true with that, but somewhere the perception of value and what they expected and what they're receiving, it might be the perception of that compared to the value of what they're paying, just isn't aligning. What's great when you get numbers is then you can start to break some of those things down and hopefully be able to show them some of that. And then you also, I clearly understand a number if I'm going to help give them some tips, consulting, training, things like that, that I think might help improve it. And really the best ones are, I have more than a few that have come to us. And a lot of times in those situations, I'm telling them, hey, let me lower your price for 90 days and let me go into your account, give me access to your account, and I will go in and start looking at some of these elements and give you some tips and recommendations from your call to action buttons to your response times to what you're responding with, and trying to dig and pull out of them some of the areas where they feel like things aren't working or what they're trying to work towards or achieve, and help them do that. So really kind of interesting, nothing alarming, just feels like kind of a slow slog right now on the sales and marketing front, which is always frustrating, especially when you're trying to grow. That's the one area you would love to move quickly and have great elements to. Looking forward, I am really excited. We're working on a really great feature right now. I'll talk more about that in an upcoming episode as we get into launching or have launched that, and some of the impacts I think that that can make, not just in adding the feature to our product, but how it aligns with our messaging, our differentiation, us in the market, how it hits upon reinforcing the biggest like aha or biggest feeling that we unlock for our customers of a moment of value. So I'm definitely excited about that. Still has some weeks to go on it. It's what we've been working on since the start of the year, and excited to share more on that and dive deeper into to some of those elements. But with that, what I wanted to talk about today has to do with kind of what I see being that like second step in your sales funnel. At the very top, and I've talked about this recently, is awareness. That's probably the area where Leadferno struggles the most or has the most ground to gain, is in awareness and our marketing efforts and getting more opportunities and the right kind of opportunities. I've had episodes on that in the past. I will again in the future, because it will continue to be a challenge. And I think this is a challenge held by many. I'd listened to many other SaaS podcasts, bootstrappers as well, and I can definitely hear a lot of the same things of companies, both small and large, on just what the market looks like, from the overall economic pressures to where and why people are spending their money, the amount of competition, and just the channels that are available to you and how crowded those channels are and how much more it might cost to get in front of X amount of leads or bring X amount of leads in, and things like that. So I'm definitely not alone in that boat of feeling that frustration, seeing that as a challenge. But I wanted to talk a next level down. This is where I think we really start to have our stuff more together. I feel really great about some aspects. There's other things I need to improve. I'll call some of those out and continue to evolve. And I also see and hear others struggling with this step. So I thought I would share this with the things that I see work for us, why I do some of those things, how I've evolved and arrived at that, and kind of go from there. And maybe that can be helpful in yours, and, you know, vice versa. If you have, you know, marketing ideas that are going to drop 30 or 50 qualified leads on my plate a month, like just send it to me. I'll take that right here and now as payment if this is helpful for you. So when we look at sales funnels, right, if you do a Google search and image search of sales funnels, you're going to see these funnels that, you know, most often at the top is awareness. Then you have interest to decision and action in those. And some time ago, I saw, you know, HubSpot kind of defined the SaaS sales funnel a little bit different, still awareness at the top, but then you have engagement, then exploration and conversion. And this gets broken down this way because with software as a service products, you kind of move from awareness coming in, learning about the product and things like that. And then you have this next step to engage with the brand, with the product itself via demos, interactive calls, and different things like that. Exploration is once they get into your product via free trial and things like that, and figure out if it's exactly what they're looking for. Can they set up the things they want to? Can they do the things they want to? What does it look like when your product is producing the journey and the outcome that you want to get for them? And then lastly, that's good enough that then you convert them into a paying customer out of that trial. So with this today, I really wanted to focus on that second level after awareness. and that's engagement. And really probably one of the biggest things I think for a lot of companies is they put a ton of effort into awareness, and you should. It's top of funnel. You want to get as many in there as possible. But then they kind of define just maybe like one thing for their engagement, or they don't put a ton of thought into it. They definitely don't experiment with it and run A/B tests and take a look at different elements and look to keep evolving once they understand those sections. So I think as we get into it, let's start off with at the very top with the strategic mindset that I think you should have with this. And for me, number one, and it's something that we already embody and echo with how we talk to our customers at Leadferno and what our product is about. I've written a blog post in the past for our target audience, for our prospects and customers, that the new golden rule of business is, are you easy to work with? And I think strategically for this engagement level, that's the exact same thing that you need to be asking yourself. Is our business easy to work with? Is it easy to touch, feel, and explore our product? And if it's not, you need to ask yourself, what are we putting in there that's friction? How are we getting in their way? What are we not allowing them to do so that we can achieve that and be easy to work with? So I think that's an important mindset that you need to settle on first. Ask yourself that question and be self-aware enough to really look at it and understand, are you easy to start working with? The next thing I think that you need to ask yourself is, and this can be hard again, self-awareness is always a hard thing, but you need to ask yourself, like, are you working the way that your customers want to work? It's very easy as a business to say, here's what we need to do. Here's the information we need to capture. Here's a process we need to take them through, the maze we want to work them through until we get them into those next stages of the funnel. But a lot of times when we do that, we only end up offering like one path, right? So consider it to be this maze, and we can end up with a lot of prospects dead ending in that maze, giving up on trying to get any further through that maze because we have dictated that path, even though they want to get to that goal. We've created these turns and double backs and loop arounds and tricks of the mind and whatever else, because we've only looked at it one way and what we feel, what's the best way to get them from point A to point B. And we haven't looked at other options, other opportunities. So we've introduced friction into it. And as we all know, in a funnel, when we're trying to get to conversion, friction is the last thing that we want with it. So those two questions, I think, really combine to get your mindset right to looking at it. The next thing that I look at that originally when we started out, I look at, how do we create good call to actions and label out there what people can do? And maybe I should back up a second. And just before I get into the labels of call to actions is like, what are those? What are those next steps and what do they look like? And to me, there's kind of three layers that I look at that I define. The first layer is the ability to ask questions. How easy is it for someone who is a lurker on your website, someone just visiting, that they're asking questions in their head and they're using your navigation, reading your content, looking at visuals, they're engaging with what's on your site to try to get answers to those questions. But what happens when it's not easy enough to navigate, the question is in more detailed, it's very specific to their use case or what they're trying to do, and they're not getting those answered. So they need to take a next step and they want to ask you a question. So to me, you need to make it easy for them to ask questions. Now in the SaaS world, this can be a number of different things, right? It can be a form on your website, a contact form. Obviously, people look at real-time solutions, which live chat comes into play in the B2B world quite a bit, being able to answer a question and know, hopefully within seconds or minutes at the worst, you can get some answers to that. In our case, since we basically do live chat via SMS, via text messaging, we use our own solution on our site. So I think being able to ask those questions at any point in time when you can't find what you're looking for, you have a very specific question, you're looking for a specific example. And some people, they're just not going to put in enough effort to dig through your content or to go to certain places or do whatever else. They just want to ask someone and have someone give them the factual, matter-of-fact answer so that they can make a decision with it. And to me, these are super important. It's a lot of what our product is built in, but asking questions of that business should be easy. And so number one, I think a form in this day and age is not enough. When I talked about before, if you're easy to work with and are you working how your customers want to work, just filling out a form, not knowing if they receive that form because, man, people stink at just even adding an auto reply to that form and an email that has been received. Then the next thing I look at, that the reply times that people give you that will get back to you in 24 hours, 48 hours, things like that, you just leave way too much out on the table for speed to lead and them keeping their interest and not allowing them time to start to look around to another competitor who will make it easier to ask questions, get questions answered, get them answered fast. And suddenly you're not part of a competitive situation. They've just chosen someone else before you even get a response back to them. So I think that ability to ask questions and to offer solutions that they can do it easily and quickly when their interest is high is extremely important to be able to do that. So then when I look at creating good CTAs for this, you need to have CTAs on your site that let them know you can ask questions. Do you have a question? Ask one of our experts. Get in touch with someone. Hear from our team. Live chat with us. Text with us. You need to really call out that it will be a simple and easy experience for you, or that this is an option for you to ask questions instead of having to read through FAQs or having to go into our help guide or other resources. So within that, just the simple human thing of being able to raise your hand and ask a question, you should be looking at that. I do always like to stress, because I've had so many of them myself that are poor chat experiences, if you're using live chat, really think about your commitment to it. I can't tell you the amount of times I get on to ask a question of another piece of software and I just get told I'm in a queue. It might be 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes it's outlined, sometimes it's not. I have a million things to do. I jump into other browser tabs and I forget to come back to that tab and the live chat agent has already come and gone. So really make sure you're going to fulfill that ability to have a quick conversation and not disappoint people when they start a chat with you and all you really did is capture their information and you're just going to email them back. You're just going to end up in the channel they didn't want to be in to begin with. And that second part, great calls to action. Let them know that you welcome questions. You want questions. Please ask them, because when they ask questions, now you get a chance to know them. Now you get a chance to uncover what else they're trying to ask and what values to them and what you can point out to them to help make a decision and point out the easy things for you, that you have a free trial. You'll help them get set up. You're willing to get on a screen share, a demo call, not just with them, but for whoever the decision makers, all kinds of things you can use to your advantage if you just make it easy for them to take the first step and ask their first question. Now, the next one that's a little bit more, of a lower level and allows them to kind of lurk a little bit more, depending upon how this is set up, they may or may not identify themselves, but allows them to stay in touch with your brand. And that's just what I call getting updates. So can that engagement be them saying, I want updates from you. I want to know about your new blog content. I want to get your email newsletter. I see you have a podcast that I can listen to and get episodes on. I can follow you on social media. I can follow your YouTube channel. All of these different elements are ways that they can subscribe and get updates over time on what you're doing, how you're improving the product, your thought leadership, how you interact, how frequently you roll out new updates, how you explain what your product does. If you're doing these things, if you're doing content and doing content marketing, whether it's written, it's video, it's audio, whatever that might be, this allows them to move along with you. And again, now when we're looking at these elements, and I think these are super important, I do all of these things that I've talked about. I'm a one-man band with these things, and I'm doing podcasts, I'm doing videos, I'm doing social media updates, I'm doing an email newsletter, and we actually do two different ones, one focused on our partners, which are digital agencies and other digital marketers that resell us, that use our affiliate program, and then also our direct users as well, sending an email out to our thousands of users to make them aware of new features and best practices in some of these other areas where they can follow us to get more information. You need to create great calls to action for these as well across all of those other channels. My website needs to be talking what they can find on our YouTube channel and on our social channels. I need to be pointing out our social channels and our podcast when I'm doing videos. I need to do that in our blog posts. Our email newsletters need to point out all those things. So there's so much intertwining between these on cross-promoting all of these different areas where you're putting out different types of content. And again, this answers back to, are you easy to work with and are you working how people want to work? Some people want to read, and so they're willing to read my blog posts. Other people want to watch, so they'd rather watch videos on specific features and how they work and best practices and tips to get them set up. Others want to listen. So instead of reading a blog post about Google Local Service ads, they'd rather listen to a podcast interview where I'm talking to an expert on LSAs and also mentioning how Leadfrono can work with them. So again, with this get update layer, I look back to those two strategic items. Am I being easy to work with? And am I allowing my customers to work with me the way they want to? And I can answer yes to both those questions because we're making a lot of different types of content available in a lot of different types of ways and in a way where we easily push it to them in a way that's non-pushy. They're subscribing to it. They're getting notifications and alerts from their podcast listener, from RSS, from email, from their YouTube subscription, whatever that is. There's already other ways built in to keep them updated. And then the last one, which I think is really important, where I think a lot more companies can evolve, and is that that's in their demos and their demo processes and the way they offer demos. So to start with, and I think this is, you know, me pointing out kind of the journey I've had with these is definitely important. To start off with, every single demo that we offered, right? We offered a call to action of get a demo now. In a number of different ways, both using our Leadfrono CTAs as well as in-content CTAs, callouts in blog posts, things like that. It all led to a calendar booking system, which we use SavvyCal, by the way, and love it as opposed to Calendly. I think it's so much more user-friendly. So check out SavvyCal. But they were able to book a demo live one-on-one with me. And for the first year of Leadfrono, I handled almost every single demo one-to-one. A couple of times I was gone and my co-founder, Joel, took them for me off my plate. But 99% of those live demos, I did. And I think that's extremely important. I think any founder would agree. You want to get better at telling your story. You want to change what that story is. You want to understand the features and benefits. You want to hear the questions and the pains that those users have, what they're trying to solve, how you can frame up solving them, progression, all these different things. I just think that's so important. Not so much the time frame of it, you know, it doesn't have to be a calendar year, but you need to have these in mass to really understand, to get to a point where you feel like, okay, I've honed in on these things, I've morphed, I've optimized, I've changed, I understand these, I've got some great talking points and examples and rebuttals. And ways to change a conversation around these things. And now I feel like a lot of this is getting super repetitive. And for me, once I hit that point, then I started looking into how can I do a recorded demo that one, frees me up to do other things, two, lets me tell a very consistent story. But the next thing I was trying to solve is how can I make that immediately available to my user? So instead of having to schedule, use a piece of calendaring software and everything else, that they can quickly come in, say, here's who I am and let me watch it right now. And so to me, that went back to the strategical of, are we easy to work with? Can I do this the second I have interest instead of I have to schedule? And maybe if I have a bunch on my schedule, somebody has to wait 2 days, 4 days, 8 days, because they have their own schedule that's causing friction as well. And if they're already interested enough to be on my site right then and there and start clicking on CTAs, I do not want to get in their way. So I looked at a few different products. The one that seemed to be dominating that was pretty straightforward is a product called eWebinar. And I've used eWebinar for a year now. It has helped me provide hundreds of recorded demos to customers instantly. I would say like 95% of the people sign up, watch an instant demo. They still can schedule a demo, get a reminder and go into a recorded demo at a specific time. But overwhelmingly, people use that choice to be able to ask it right then and there. And as I'll touch on, we still offer the choice for a live one-on-one demo. When they go to sign up, there's a link that says, hey, if you do want a personal one-to-one demo, this one's recorded, but you can get a personal one. Here's a link and you can schedule that. And then towards the end of that recorded demo, we say, hey, if you still have questions and you want a personal guided tour or to address some things or to focus on something, you can schedule a one-to-one call. And we still offer that to them as well. But I really looked at this recorded demo was, again, getting back to the strategy of working how my customers want to work. I want to see this right now. And it being easy. I don't have to schedule. I don't have to figure things out. I can get access to it right now. So going to offering both live demos still for the person that wants that, or the recorded just isn't enough. But offering them that recorded demo so they can watch it instantly at 11 at night, 2 in the morning, times when I'm not going to be available for a demo that they can do. So I also see a lot of people who they are the researcher, right? They're going out for the company and it's not their decision. There's someone else on the team and they're bringing a solution back to the team. They watch that video and they say, hey, yeah, you can instantly watch it. Here's a link, go sign up. No, you can instantly watch it. So you make it easy for teams that might be doing their investigating and research and they need to bring it back to a decision maker. And now they can bring that decision maker in the same ease to spend that time and watch it at any point in time. I also took that recorded demo and placed it on our YouTube channel as well. So if I'm ever following up with a sales lead or I have a live demo with someone, they're like, oh, I really like someone else to watch us and whatever else, I can say, hey, we have a recorded demo out on YouTube. You can go watch it at any time. So even though the nice thing about the e-webinar is, one, it's capturing information from them. It also has a chat component in the video. So I can, at different time sets, I can ask them questions like what their CRM is, how many leads do they average a month? I can show them links here, click on this to view our pricing. Are you interested in the product? So e-webinar, definitely something you should check out and consider. Starts at $100 a month for one demo. For me, it easily saves me anywhere from 10 to 30 hours a month. So that $100 is well worth that value. And even though in the recorded demo, I lose the opportunity to be able to ask specific questions and find my way into what their biggest pain points are and being able to address them, it allows me to scale myself, be more available. And the conversion for us doesn't drop off that much between that and a live demo. So it definitely has benefits that outweigh some of the things that aren't necessarily cons, but would I love them to be better? Would I love a 24-hour version of me available to everyone to talk to them? Yes. But this is the next best thing for that. So all those elements are definitely helpful and part of the e-webinar product that you can put to use. So when you look at what I have to offer in those demos, we have the recorded demo that's there that they can access at any point. They can schedule a live demo at different points in an interaction. I can send somebody to a recorded demo on YouTube that's ungated that they can see at any time. And lastly, I'd love to offer this at some point in time. I've looked at a few pieces of software, but definitely interactive demos have gained ground where you're able to kind of control some of the walkthroughs and workflows and things like that and let them touch and feel and see the product before they even start a free trial with it by just moving them through some of the key aspects, features, and elements and workflows of your product. So that's definitely an area where I've looked into that as we go along in the future, I might explore and add to that as well. And this again speaks to the end of the day, working how your customers want to, I'm allowing them to choose how they want to work. And if I have a recorded demo instantly, a scheduled one-to-one where you get one-to-one time and get your questions answered, or something you can get your hands on and start playing around with without even creating a free trial or doing anything, just start to click around, then you're solving all these different scenarios in different ways that some buyers prefer to buy. And I think that's highly important. One thing I definitely need to improve on, the first recorded demo I have runs a little over 20 minutes. And quite frankly, that's too long. I knew it was too long when I made it. It's really kind of built into two sections, 7 minutes of me introducing the company, why we created our product, how we compare to live chat, because that's a very common thing for us and why we think our product is better, things to think about within the industry and how consumers feel about texting. So it's 7 minutes of kind of setting the stage for why, addressing a lot of problems, making them aware and helping them understand other things that we're going to help solve for them that they might not even be aware of. Then the other 13 minutes is me in the product, walking through all kinds of features and elements and use cases and benefits for them. So within that, I need to re-record that video. It's over a year old now. Yeah, we've introduced a number of different features I get hit upon. I'm waiting for the feature that I talked about earlier in this because it is going to be a very major addition to what we're doing. So I will re-record it at that time. So hopefully within the next month, I'm going to re-record that. I think too, I can add more enthusiasm, which I think is extremely important in a recorded demo, bring some more of my passion out in it. So I can definitely clean that up. I need to move it from 20 minutes to sub 13 is my goal. And I've watched it about 10 times in the last 2 months and continue to make notes on what to pull out, how to hit upon it differently, be more concise, all of those types of elements in it. So that's something that I have as a to-do, and I'll talk about that once I finally get to that. So in the end of this, hopefully you can take a look at all of these pieces and go through from high-level strategic, how do I get better at engagement with what we offer that's out there? Again, the two questions, am I easy to work with? And do I work how my customers want to work? If you answer those and continue to align your other processes and tactics against that, I think you'll be really well off. And then look at it within the three layers. How easy do you make asking and answering questions? I think this one is massively overrated. I'm obviously biased. This is the area I work in all day long, mostly for small businesses. But you have to make it easy and beneficial for them to ask questions and easily get answers, not 2 days later in email, or not reading your FAQ page that has 50 frequently asked questions, or going through your help guide. How do you allow them to get updates? Are you putting out all the kinds of content they might want to engage with? Not just written content, not just PDFs being downloaded, audio content in podcasts, video content, blog content, social. Again, use all of these things together so that they can subscribe, they can be a fan, they can be curious, they can dial into it, to what you're doing until you put the right information that tips them over the edge to take that next step. And lastly, that super important step in software as a service in the SaaS world is demos. And I really think you need to evolve past just one kind of demo that might be tricky to schedule based on availability, lacks other elements. Can you be there instantly? Can you be there one-on-one when they want it? And can you be interactive with it? Can you let them touch and feel without any type of commitment of name and email or putting in a credit card to start the free trial, even though you're not charging it until 2 weeks or a month down the road? So all of those things combined. And I really do feel like instead of saying, oh, we just want to offer it this one way, here's the one road, the one path to success, you need to be looking at these and how can I hit it on many of these options? You have one destination, and that is to get them as a paying customer. That's your ideal outcome. How they get there, you should offer them a lot of paths and a lot of opportunities and support a lot of different ways. Do you have to be smart about it? Absolutely. But most of the things I've talked about here are things that you can scale. There's initial time in how you create it, what you put together and how it works. But after that, it's scaling it, sharing it, marketing it, making it easy to engage with, getting it right in front of them at the right times, all of those different elements. All right. Thanks so much for listening. If you're somebody that's been along for the ride for the whole 50 episodes for years now, that's awesome. Continue to do the things you do. Appreciate it when you share my episodes on social media, you share them in an email with someone else and point it out for someone to listen to. Appreciate it when you send questions or support, and really appreciate any reviews that you leave on the podcast channels that you listen to. So with that, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the SaaS Venture Podcast, and we'll talk again soon.